Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV. Welcome to the November episode of the Green AV Podcast, where we discuss all things green in the world of audiovisual technology and sometimes beyond. I'm Midori Connolly, your friendly chief AV girl and green passionista. This is my first real month hosting the show, and I am truly thrilled and excited that my first guest is someone that I actually met through Infocom and through our shared passion for sustainable audiovisual technologies. Today, I am fortunate enough to have Raymond Kent on the show with me. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm just going to share a little bit about Raymond. He's the managing principal of Sustainable Technologies Group, which is headquartered in Washington, D.C. and has offices in Cleveland and Los Angeles. SustainTech provides design solutions in audiovisual, acoustics, lighting, theater technology, IT, security, life safety, and building automation systems for the performing and cultural arts, healthcare, corporate, educational, and government market sectors. The cool thing about Raymond is that he's also the co-author of the STEP rating system and serves as the chair of the STEP Foundation's Technology Task Force. He's also the founding member and heavily involved with the Center for Sustainability in the Arts, as well as the Architecture 230 Challenge, Cleveland 2019 Sustainability Challenge, and the Sustainability in the Arts Summits. He has done many, many great things for our industry and written and presented on sustainable technology for Infocom, American Institute for Architects, the United States Institute for Theater Technology, Verge London, as well as many, many other organizations and publications. So, now, that's a little bit about you in my words. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, maybe in general, but also as it pertains to Green AV, kind of what motivated you and where did your focus come from when it came to sustainability?
Well, sustainability has really been part of my lifelong personality. I come from a family. My father was born and raised during the Depression and was one of 14 kids. And so they grew up very frugal and very, with a mindset of preserving everything that you could. And so even as a kid, I was constantly following, my mom around, turning off light switches and trying to do things like compost and things like that. It's just our nature and the way that we were raised by my parents. And so for me, it was sort of a natural thing to bring forward into my working life, my professional life. And working in the theater industry for most of my career, sustainability is more of a necessity than, and whether it's on your mind or not, it's more of a necessity than something that you would like to be able to do. And a lot of that is, operations driven, budget driven. You recycle a lot of things because you don't often have the capital to reconstruct it. So, that mindset there, you're very sustainable and minimizing construction waste and by reuse. So as I moved into my current role designing technology systems, for me, there was a natural in trying to think of ways to drive down energy costs and keep that operating cost, particularly in places like performing and cultural arts, museums and other not-for-profit 501c3s, where every dollar counts. And so it really is a budgetary issue for a lot of these people, but it also helps with reducing greenhouse gas and better for the environment and everything else. So for me, it's a win-win all the way around, and it allows me to bring my life into my work and some things that I'm very passionate about and believe very heavily in.
Great. And just to expand on that a little bit, because I think that, you've already touched on a hot topic there, which is, budget and budgetary concerns. And, I'd love to hear more about ways that you yourself or a Sustainable Technologies Group, sorry, I used your Twitter handle there, you know, ways that you've been able to have an impact on budgetary constraints and ways that, you know, sustainability, you know, any tangible examples or case studies or, you know, information that you have to share?
Absolutely. A recent project that we worked on was the Allen Theater at Playhouse Square, which is the second largest performing arts complex in the country next to Lincoln Center. Within that project, we renovated, the architect was Westlake Reed Laskowski. We renovated the historic 1920s Allen Theater and constructed two new performance spaces, one a 150-seat black box and the other a 250-seat multi-purpose space. Multi-purpose isn't really the right name for it, but it definitely is reconfigurable. And so in looking at historic theaters, how do you make the least impact on this venue? You know, how do you not destroy the historic fabric of this? And most often you go into a historic place and they have miles of analog systems that have been in there, if there's any left at all. And so you try to reuse existing pathways. So you're not pulling new pipe. You're not destroying historic plaster, which then gets thrown out. A lot of times contains asbestos. So you don't want to have an impact there. So we looked at all digital distribution systems there, using products like the Avium All Frame system, which is a card frame audio distribution system, allows us to do 64 channels of audio bidirectional and be able to run that all over Cat5 cable. And there's certainly Dante and other platforms that are out there that can do similar things. But we looked at how we could reduce our infrastructure, reduce the amount of time of the contractors on site, reduce the amount of equipment, which ultimately reduces the power demand, reduces the heat load, so that we don't need to cool the spaces as much. And then on the theatrical side, the theatrical designers also looked at the use of LED fixtures and how can we do distributed dimming rather than have huge racks of traditional dimming racks where you have to provide a 400 amp service per rack, and then you have to cool that room because those things just keep grinding out heat. And, and so things like that. And then we worked with the owner in reduction of equipment and what do they really need, what was critical. We reused about 25% of the existing audiovisual equipment that was in the original Allen system because it was about 10 years old. So there were things that still functioned well that we could repurpose rather than put them into a landfill. And then we required the contractors to recycle electronically, you know, do the e-cycling of everything else that wasn't being used in the project. So they had to find an electronic recycler. They had to recycle in a responsible way. They had to document that. All the packaging material, had to be recycled when it came on site. So we were able to take systems that normally would take, thousands of miles of cable and drastically reduce it down to about 30% of the infrastructure and cabling that was required for a typical analog system. So for us, that's a very sustainable way of approaching a very complex system like a performing arts center.
Great story. Really incredible. It was like hanging on your last word. Like, is there more? This is really good. It's very, very, those are the kinds of concrete numbers that I think as an industry, we really need to deliver, right? Sometimes I think we get caught up in the abstract of we're going to try to do this. We're going to try to do that. But if we can deliver those types of numbers, I think that's how we can move Green AV forward. That's a great example of giving some metrics and quantitative data. So, good story. I wonder out of curiosity, did you apply any of the STEP?
Well, we were actually writing STEP while I was designing the Allen Theater project.
Okay.
So for me, it was an opportunity, although not a STEP project. We do have two pilot projects currently, Slippery Rock University in Pennsylvania and the Cuyahoga County Public Library System, new Parma Snow Branch, which has a black box theater in it. They are both STEP pilot projects and both theaters. They both are performance spaces. So I specifically chose those for STEP pilot projects based off of my experience of writing STEP and sort of vetting what we were writing as I was designing the Allen Theater. So if we were trying to do something in STEP, I'd say, well, can we apply this to the work that I'm doing at the Allen and see how well it works? And maybe, you know, maybe my perspective will be a little bit tweaked on what I bring to the table for spec. You know, because certainly with STEP, I was the voice of the rental and staging side of things. We had a great group of people. Some were end users, some were other consultants, some were integrators, some were manufacturers. But there was a lot of corporate environment, you know, conference rooms and corporate auditorium and classroom discussions and those types of environments where 80% of audiovisual technology gets implemented. You know, that's the, those are the bulk, the lion's share of what's out there. You know, if you use that 80-20 rule, then you get the specialty stuff, the, you know, like what we do with museums and theaters and even some of the higher tech healthcare and broadcast studios and whatnot. You know, they're a very small portion of it. So I tried to say, okay, what is one of the most challenging projects that we have? And that's going to be, for me, a performing arts center. And here's a really big one, the Allen Theater, which has three performance venues, plus not only new construction, but a historic renovation. As we're writing this, I'm going to try to apply this and see how well it works or doesn't, and bring that perspective to the table, you know, as not only a consultant, but as an end user, because I do design still professionally lighting and set design within live entertainment, within theaters. So, you know, I wanted to sort of test out what we were doing, and then having the opportunity to continue on and participate in the pilot project or two, I think has been great, because I've been able to look critically at what worked and what didn't work through the Allen Theater and bring that into the pilot projects, as well as contribute that information into the STEP process.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I think that, you know, the conversation around theater is very unique, because it kind of does blend the, you know, the rental and staging world with the install integrated systems world. You know, the two really come together, because you can't just, you know, design it and then let the end user move forward with how they're going to do it. You really are thinking about day to day, you know, how, what is the experience going to be like? So it's, you know, how are we going to create an event over and over and over again? I think that that's pretty fascinating. And I don't think I really actually ever thought about it that way before. And I think that's...
Well, yeah. If you think about, you know, certainly what you do on the live end, and certainly what I do on the live end, every show is different compared to, say, a conference room, where you're going to have a set grouping of functionality within a space. You know, maybe you're doing a PowerPoint presentation, or maybe a corporate meeting, or you have a vendor that comes in and does a lunch and learn, and they're going to use some of the technology here and there. But there, it's really more limited scope. When you think about like a live entertainment, it literally can change, you know, week to week, night to night, month to month, and you have to be able to design in that flexibility. And that's where the challenge comes in from a sustainability standpoint, is how do you be, you know, a very flexible space that can allow a lot of different types of events to happen and be sustainable at the same time, because a lot of times you have redundant systems or redundant infrastructure. And so it's really the big challenge there. And you know, and that's why I like that challenge. I think it's interesting. And how can we provide that kind of environment? Because certainly sustainability is a big driver, and, you know, in the arts in particular. I mean, they're very, very mindful about that from a social standpoint. Corporations, you know, I think look at it more from a business standpoint. It's a good social thing from a corporate sustainability reporting and shareholder feel good side for, you know, for corporations to be sustainable in everything they do, not just the building, but technology and whatnot. But I think that it's sort of reversed when you get into the not-for-profit arena, where they pay more attention to the social side than they do the business side. And I think we're going to see more blending of that.
I completely agree. And so the other interesting point, and I've brought this up in past columns, and you and I just even talked about it a little while ago, about, you know, one of the challenges with Green AV is that we can't just you know, sell or buy greener equipment and call it a day, there's really a challenge of educating and training on the humans who are using equipment. Because, you know, I can buy more energy efficient lighting, but if I'm leaving it on 24 hours a day, does that defeat the purpose? So it's, you know, I think that theater and rental and staging and, you know, even on the integrated system side, we really have to think more about what is the human behavior and how can we help modify that? Is that part of our responsibility? And I think that theater just kind of truly illustrates that factor, the human factor, the operator factor, right?
Absolutely. And as you said, like you and I were discussing earlier, sometimes you have to break through tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the theatrical world, you know, you have thousands of years of tradition of how to do theater. With current technology, you know, maybe you're going back 50 years, you know, certainly with lighting, you're going back, you know, over 100 years. Alico is Alico is Alico, and they're still used today. Now you have big power amplifiers. You've got self-powered loudspeakers. You've got digital distribution. You've got all kinds of manipulation you can do with the audio signal. You've got digital scenery where you've got mammoth 20K projectors that are projecting the scenery and doing all kinds of really incredible visual effects. Or even if you take that to the outside world, where you have people who are doing fantastic pixel mapping projection on the exterior of buildings, particularly over in Europe. It's really starting to take off here in the U.S., but you know, Europe has an entire organization just based around that. Mm-hmm. But those are one-off installations, and yeah, you might be using a ton of power on this one installation and maybe nothing on the next one, but how do you try to make each one as sustainable as possible? And when you get into that human factor, how do you change their history? How do you change their mindset to do it a different way, not do it the way that they've been doing it for 20 years, which is unsustainable? You know, how do you get them to think a different way? And I think some people are really on board with that, but there's that comfort level of, well, I'm just going to put up a bunch of light fixtures and do some CYA lighting here so that I know if the actor decides to move over there, I still got some light that I can bring up. But you're really requiring more energy demand and not really thinking it through and being more sustainable. It does require more preparation and thought and better technology and greener technology, but you're really changing that mindset of how they're working. And ultimately, it's going to help with their bottom line and their operations from reducing those energy costs. And then if you can save money there, then that just frees up money to do even better, cooler stuff.
Yes. So,
or more productions or whatnot. Because the dollars are limited, especially in the not-for-profit world.
Right, absolutely. Well, dollars are limited in corporate world too these days. I mean, everyone's under limitations.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So to change gears just a little bit, because I like to have a little bit of fun. You know, we always like to, we love our technology. So just out of curiosity, you know, what do you think is the, you know, the coolest thing in green AV right now, or whether it be technology or something a manufacturer is doing? What do you think is like the coolest thing out there?
I think there's a couple really interesting things happening. Certainly, I think organic LED is continuing to grow, and that is certainly a very sustainable way, you know, in terms of energy, overall energy consumption. And I think as the manufacturing process improves, that's going to be taking better foothold within the industry. But I think the thing that's going to have the biggest impact is its integration with building automation systems and smart, real true smart building technology. And who is going to be managing that, and what are the hooks into the mechanical system or the lighting system and security system, and everything's over an network these days, and who's managing that process and how is it going to get managed? You know, we were just talking about the human factor. What portion of the human factor do you want to take out of that, so that you don't have the projector sitting on all day and all night? It's only on so that you can have, like, say, take a corporate world. And I was recently at a manufacturer's last week where they were talking about the perfect meeting where, you know, the CEO, he just wants to present. He doesn't want to have to worry about technology. He wants to come into his conference room and present and then go back to what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So how do you set it up so the projector the room, not just the projector, but the room sets up and he can come in, he or she can come in and just present and then leave and not have to think about what button am I pushing on my touchscreen. You know, I can just come in and the technology is transparent to the user. It supports what they're trying to do. You know, I teach theater technology adjunct, and I think it gives me a little bit of different perspective. So when we work with our educational clients, you know, quite often they know about the latest new bell and whistle that they got to have. You know, I need to have this in my classroom, whether it's iPad this or I whatever or Android or smart or whatever. Well, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to communicate? What is your perfect class where you can come in and teach? And what tools and solutions can we give you that are transparent to you that allow you to just come in and teach the information you want to convey and then leave?
Yeah.
You know, instead of worrying about, you know, this gizmo, that gizmo, and sort of take the whiz-bang effect out of it and allow them to have the right tools to communicate that information and that shared learning experience. And I think that's an interesting thing as well that's starting to really take hold on the smart building side.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's one of the most exciting things out there. And it again goes back to changing kind of that human behavior and modification of, you know, having to modify behavior because the building does it for you. So that's great stuff. We are almost out of time, but I did want to also congratulate you. If our listeners don't know, Raymond was actually awarded the 2012 Sustainable Technology Award from Infocom. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And anything else, you know, that you know, what do you have going in the, you know, moving forward with Green AV? Is there anything, you know, that besides these exciting pilot projects, is it more STEP, work with STEP, or, you know, what do you have in store for us?
Certainly. Certainly, I'm now blogging for Infocom's All Voices on sustainability, as well as live entertainment and rental staging, and the design from that aspect of it. So that's certainly something new. There are a couple other new things I have coming in the works, which you'll have to wait to find out. But they're coming around soon, so
yes.
You know, keep your eyes and ears open. But certainly, professionally, we are really pushing hard to do more technology master planning with clients and looking at energy consumption and how they're doing things to change that human behavior. And I think once you start to analyze that data and show the client, you know, here's what you're really doing and here's the energy consumption of all that plug load stuff. You know, we've been very involved with following the International Green Construction Code. Certainly STEP, as the chair of the technology task force, we certainly have some exciting things with moving that forward with our partners, BIXI, CompTIA, TIA, and others. And I look forward to continuing that work as well. And so just trying to get people to understand that Green AV is just part of the puzzle. And you really need to take a more holistic approach, but it's a key part of it. Don't dismiss the fact that you have a projector just because you go to Best Buy and buy a projector and throw it on the table. That's not important. That you really need to think about everything that goes into your building, not just the walls and the lights and the HVAC and the carpeting and the, you know, and whatnot. There are all these things that you plug in and deal with on a daily basis that have become so second nature to you, I don't think that you are thinking about it. And so we're trying to work with clients and educate clients and just, you know, the general population through our writing and presentations and whatnot on this type of stuff. So I think it's good stuff. I think people need to understand it better, you know, on the client side, because that's how it's ultimately going to get written into RFPs, and architects are going to have to take notice. Engineers are going to have to take notice because you're going to have smarter clients out there that are going to want to demand this. And, you know, when they start finding out about STEP, they're going to write it into their RFPs, and an architect better understand what that means. And we better have smart consultants out there and smart integrators out there that understand what that means. Because if it's being demanded by the client, it's got to get implemented. And so it's a whole educational process, I think, that's really starting to gear up, and that's exciting.
Very cool. Well, again, congratulations, and we will, you know, stay tuned for your news. I also hope that we'll have you back again next year and maybe bring on some theater people who can talk about the production and some of the cool things that are happening there. Maybe inspire some ideas. And I love this concept you have about it. You know, it's almost like intelligent, intuitive AV rather than just green AV. So I think that you're on to something there, Raymond Kent. So I also want to...
I'm glad I'm not just standing in a corner by myself and that there's a lot of like-minded people like yourself and others. So,
well, hopefully there will be room for us to collaborate in the future and talk more about what happens in live events and see how we can steer that going forward. I also just want to thank you for being here today. And want to thank everybody for listening. I think you had some incredible stuff to share today. So for all of my listeners, make sure that you're tuning in every month. Next month, I have a couple of really great guys who will be on the show. And I promise you it's going to be good. So make sure you stay tuned. Come back and visit us. Learn more about Green AV. Check out everything you can on Rave Radio and Rave Publications. There's just some incredible content being generated. So thank you again, Raymond. And look forward to seeing everyone on the next go-round.